Welcome to the Unsweetened SIO podcast. My name is Siobhan Harris. I am a certified integrative nutrition health coach and the founder of unsweetenedsio.com. I gave up all sugar and all flour on January 13th, 2018, and am finally free of my addiction. My mission is to help other sugar addicts find their path to freedom and live the sweet life without sugar. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 152 of Unsweetened SIO, the podcast. I'm really excited to have today's guest with us, Rachel Murray. Rachel is a registered holistic nutritionist and a sugar addiction recovery coach. Her mission is to help women with sugar addiction ditch all the diets and find food freedom for life. Initially trained as a registered nurse, she transitioned to holistic nutrition to better serve her clientele of exceptional women who just so happened to struggle with sugar addiction. Drawing on her background as a registered nurse and incorporating both modern science and time-tested wisdom, Rachel has coached dozens of women on how to break free from the chains of sugar addiction and live a life of purpose and passion. She's a proud and grateful member of the SugarX Global Community and has been featured on the Fed and Fearless podcast, and now featured on the Unsweetened SIO podcast. So welcome, Rachel. So glad that you're here with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Siobhan. I'm really glad to be here.
And I've been kind of watching you on social media for those, and we'll make sure we link. So you're getting really active on Instagram and posting really great content and reels. So thank you for, I think I have added things to my story a couple times that you put out there. So thank you for that content. And please, if you don't follow Rachel, look her up because really good information. So thanks for doing that.
Oh, thanks for saying that.
Anyway, so let's start with like your own story because we all have a story. So why don't you kind of take us to your own kind of journey with sugar addiction and kind of how it led you to where you are today, especially making that, I'm really interested in how you made that shift from being, you know, a registered nurse to now, you know, more holistic nutrition and what that was like for you. So wherever you want to start.
Sure. I would say that the struggle probably really started in my early teens. I was a pretty healthy, normal sized kid, but sugar definitely played a big role in my life as a child. And it really didn't become a problem in my mind until those early teen years when you start really getting self-conscious about your body and being aware of that. So during that time, I think that restrictions started to really come into play. And unfortunately, during that time, I had a traumatic loss of one of my parents. My dad died really suddenly. And that kind of just put a spiral on everything. And I think a big part of that was just feeling like I had lost a lot of control on my life. So controlling the food was something that I could do and, you know, help to control my weight at the same time. So that's really where a lot of it started. So kind of fast forwarding through there, I was always interested in health and wellness ever since I was a child, and especially going through high school, I was choosing all the fitness and health related courses as my electives because it just really interested me. I liked learning about that. So that kind of took me into a health promotion degree and then finally resting on going through for nursing and becoming a registered nurse. And, you know, I got into nursing because I wanted to help people, and that was my aim, and I was able to do that for many years. But it just kind of came to a point where I felt like we were putting a lot of band-aids on problems, and the the time that I wanted to spend teaching my clients about healthy eating and healthy living in general, just it wasn't available to me because there was so many other things that I had to do. So I started down the path of training to be a holistic nutritionist. One, because I just wanted to return to that that original passion of mine of teaching and helping others, but also to help with my own health, because I had been going through a number of digestive problems and allergies. And as the years went on, just like more and more things kind of got added to that picture. And so the holistic nutrition course was both to help other people, but also to help heal myself. And there just kind of came a point in that where I realized that I couldn't do what I wanted to do as a registered nurse. And it was a difficult decision to kind of step back from that, because it was a very secure job. I was working full time. It was like a 10-minute drive from my house. So it was like it ticked all the boxes, but I just wasn't happy there, and I wasn't, fulfilling my passion. So I did step back and decided to start my own business as a holistic nutritionist. So that was a really big leap of faith, but I felt that it better served me and it better served my clients and future clients. So I did that for a few years, just as a general nutritionist. I kind of helped anyone that kind of reached out to me. And it was through, I had a difficult client, not in that like her personality was difficult, but I didn't know how to help her. And it seemed just by fluke one day, I had heard Bitten Johnson speaking on another podcast. And what she talked about sounded like all of the things that I needed to learn to help this client that I had really struggled to help. So I reached out to her because I thought that, maybe I can add to my training and go through one of her programs, and this would help my client and future clients. So it was actually through that process. I had a sugar assessment done, and I had realized that I was a sugar addict. So I think in the weeks leading up to that sugar assessment, I think I had already started to kind of come to through the realization that I had had a problem with sugar and with food. But so I wasn't totally surprised by the results of the sugar assessment, but I think there was still some shock there.
That is really interesting to me, because I was going to ask you, I was curious about, when you were saying you became the nurse, and at what point were you realizing that you might have the sugar addiction? So it wasn't until after even already coaching other people, and then, finding this client that you felt like you couldn't help, and hearing Bitten, who actually is going to be our guest next week. So I love that, huge fan of Bitten. And then actually getting the sugar analysis tool done on yourself. I've had that done too, and it's such a powerful tool, and I think really helps illustrate, how it works, and makes you kind of think about stuff that you hadn't thought about. Like I knew for sure I was an addict when I had it done, but I still learned a lot. So I bet that was a little bit like, I'm doing this to try to help this client, but now I'm actually getting information that's going to help me too. Is that kind of what it felt like?
Yeah, definitely. And just to kind of go back to that question you asked. Starting as an early teen, I realized that I had a problem with food, and that continued throughout all the other trainings that I did. And so even as a holistic nutritionist, I had the information at hand, and I knew what I should be doing in air quotes, but I was still struggling. So it was a shock to kind of put that label of sugar addiction on myself. at that point, and even today, like, it's not something I'm ashamed of. I think that it's great that I know that information about myself. But yeah, it was kind of a, you know, I think the more shocking thing was that I hadn't figured this out on my own, because I knew that I had these problems with food. So yeah, I think that was kind of the biggest shock. And even that I had gotten this far with all the training that I had and not really understood how big of a problem it was, and that there was so many clients that I had seen prior to understanding all of this that, you know, that I could have helped even more if I had had this information, you know, 5, 10 years ago, or, you know, longer.
I love, like, the synergy, or whatever you would call it, of this. Like, I studied at IIN because I wanted to help myself, to help other people. And I learned all this stuff, and kind of like you're saying, then we're seeing clients, but I wasn't, like, able to really help myself, and I'm helping other people, but there was, like, this missing piece still, because in that curriculum, at least at the time, they didn't address sugar addiction as a thing, because it's not medically recognized. So they didn't, you know, it wasn't addressed. So I still didn't, like, have, I had some of the pieces, but not all of them. But I think it's interesting, the synergy part is how you attract clients sometimes with the same things you're struggling with. So you probably were attracting, you know, sugar addicted clients. And even the founder of the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, Josh, I loved, he was saying when he first started health coaching people, he was still smoking. And he was like, he attracted all of these smokers. And he was finally like, okay, like, I need to address this myself if I'm gonna, like, you know, walk the walk, basically. He was feeling kind of like a fraud. And that's how I felt sometimes, because I would be like telling people, you know, oh yeah, you know, sugar is not good for you. But then I'd be like binging at night or whatever, out of control, you know, compulsively. So it's interesting sometimes how life works out that way, of kind of showing you something, you know, bringing you these clients, and then at that right timing, listening to Bitten, everything clicking into place. And then suddenly you probably have this new real purpose of really helping women with sugar addiction, right? Is that kind of how it tuned into being, you know, and I'm sure you see other clients too, but really I'm sure then once you had that missing piece of information, you're like, ah, yes, this is what I'm supposed to be doing and helping women with.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it was a total shift in perspective, and shortly after in my business, because I have completely revamped my business to focus on solely serving those with sugar addiction. So not to say I won't help anyone else, but that really is my focus. And you're absolutely right. Those were all the people that I was attracting, and I didn't realize it in myself. And there was a little bit of guilt and shame, because I felt like I had to uphold this certain perspective of myself. Like you said, you would tell your clients not to eat sugar and not to do these things. And I was eating relatively healthy otherwise, but the sugar also played a big role in what I was eating. So there was kind of this, like, Jekyll and Hyde that I had to, you know, put on this face for my clients. And even sometimes I would say, like, I don't eat perfect, but, like, I feel like some clients just wouldn't even believe me because they thought I'm a nutritionist and they put me on this pedestal. So that's something else that's really interesting, that I've taken away from the whole sugar addiction recovery space, is that guilt and shame is just something that we can let go. Like, none of us are perfect. We can be on this path to recovery, and, you know, we can have slips, but that doesn't make us a bad person. And we don't have to strive for perfection. It's just a path that we're going to be on.
Mm-hmm. And that's such a better way, when you can, like, let go of that shame and guilt and the perfectionist, you know, mindset, because, you know, and that's what a lot of us did when we were trying. Like, I know when I was, you know, trying different diets to help myself. And then I do well for a little bit. And then I beat myself up because I couldn't stick to it, you know? And I'm just so glad, yeah, to get rid of that feeling and just to know, and I know you're part of the SugarX global community, which I love, and just be continuing to realize that people struggle throughout their recovery. You know, there are times that challenges arise and there might be those little bumps or slips, but yeah, it doesn't mean you're a bad person, or it's just a part of the process. So really having that community and support, you know, helps get you through that. And I think that's, you know, another kind of common misconception is some people think if I just weigh this much, or if I just, you know, get off sugar, life will be perfect again. Like everything will be fine. But unfortunately, that's just not the way that it works. But we are better equipped to deal with life's challenges, I think, for the most part. But yeah, I do think that's a lifelong process and discovery. And if you can take out the guilt and shame and replace it with like curiosity, I think that's just such a better place to come from. I know I used to be so critical of myself and down on myself. And now I try just to be a lot more compassionate and just curious, like, oh, that's interesting. Like, I mean, I'm almost sugar-free and flour-free for 5 years, and I've been having more cravings than I've had in a long time, I'd say in the last few months. And instead of, I'm just like, huh. Like now I look at it like, well, what's going on? Like I have, it's more of a curiosity than this like critical voice that used to be in my head. So yeah, I think that's really important to be able to let go of that guilt and shame and know that there can be slips and that's just part of the journey and that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, how go ahead.
I was just going to say, I really love how you reframe that. And that's something that I really like to do too, is having that curiosity and that compassion, because it just enables you to, you know, rather than just be hard on yourself and then, you know, that's kind of the end of it. You're in a bad mood or you're feeling bad about yourself. Having that curiosity, you're then able to actually explore what's going on and often find a solution rather than just this dead end of feeling terrible.
And like berating yourself, like yeah. That's motivating too. I always tell myself that too. Like it's never worked for me to have some kind of adult figure or coach or whatever throughout my life, to have someone that was really like berating and critical. Like that doesn't motivate me to make a change. So why would I do that to myself? Like I need to be inspired and, you know, so yeah, it's interesting to think about that, how we, and especially like when you think about, well, I would never talk to my kids or friends mm-hmm. or clients like that. Why am I talking to myself like that? So yeah, I think that piece is really important. But I'm curious, so like kind of back to your story of coming across Bitten, doing the sugar analysis tool and realizing, all right, I'm a sugar addict. Like what happened from there? Like, how did you find, you know, the tools you needed to, you know, kind of start resolving that sugar addiction?
Yeah, so it was actually Judy Wolf, who, you know, is part of SugarX, one of the founders there. She was actually the one who did my assessment. So for those who don't know, the sugar assessment is broken into two parts. You have the interview, and then usually about a week later, the interviewee will follow up with the results and give you some recommendations. So it ended up, I had the sugar assessment sometime in the week before Christmas of 2020, I guess. But yeah, we're coming up on 2 years now. So it was December 26th that I had my follow-up with her. I think that this happens with a lot of people, but after the assessment itself, you kind of have this like light bulb moment and you kind of wake up. And I had already kind of committed to doing some things. And so December 26th is, like I said, that's when I had that follow-up with her. And that really is the date that I don't really attach myself too much to the exact date, because like we said, it is a journey, but that's kind of the date in my mind where I've been sugar, flour, free since then. And yeah, it was just kind of a magical moment going through that with Judy and having those results, most of which I already knew deep down inside what she was going to say and a lot of what she was going to recommend. But it's just such a powerful tool that I kind of came away with that, knowing that I wanted to change so much. So in the following few weeks and months, I suppose, a lot of it was just gathering information for myself, because that's what that is just one of my strengths, and I recognize that, and it's something that that I found really helpful. So I got onto the Quit Sugar Summit I think it was early January, so it was within the next couple of weeks of finishing that assessment, and just, you know, took in every podcast that I could find that was on the topic, and I did a lot of that. So a lot of that was done on my own, which I don't necessarily recommend. And I know your story is similar in that sense, that you did do a lot of it on your own. But it was, I think, so SugarX Global opened that following spring. So it was a few months later that I did join up with that. And I also started going to some SCAA meetings. So that was really helpful for me as well, finding that community piece, because for myself and for a lot of sugar addicts, you know, being independent and wanting to do it all on our own just seems to come with the territory for a lot of us. So that is what I tried to do in the beginning. And a lot of that knowledge gathering was really helpful for myself, because that is just something that I like to do. But finding that community piece was really important for myself. So that's something I always recommend to clients, because I think we all need community support, whether it's, you know, in sugar addiction or not, like just in life in general, we do need that community support to really thrive and flourish in our life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100%. And you're right. And I always say that too on the podcast. I did it on my own, but I don't recommend doing it that way. And I feel like that's the beauty of now versus even 5 years ago, is there's so many more coaches out there, community support, like SugarX and so many other things like that now. That I really encourage people to find that one that fits for them too. Cause sometimes you might go to a group, or I know people that try like the 12 steps and they find one they don't like. My thing is always like, okay, that has nothing to do with you. It just didn't work for you. So go find that group, cause you will find that group that works. And then that's that support and community when you are starting, you know, to feel like you might be slipping or have something challenging going on or just something new. Like, you know, I have a client the other day, she's like traveling, you know, out of the country for the first time and was like, you know, looking for some tips there. So there's always going to be these kind of new situations, and it's really nice to draw on the recovery of other people and just kind of also be in that space, which Bitten talks about a lot, is someone that understands the language too. You know, so when I'm like, yeah, I really wanted to like dig that cupcake I threw out of the trash can and eat it, you know, a sugar addict community is like, oh yeah, I did that too. It's not like they're looking at you like you're insane, because we all, and that's another thing I think you said, it's very isolating, you know, and especially when you feel like you're the only person that, I know I felt like that for a while, that I was the most, you know, no one else was like that, because I didn't have anyone in my immediately like family or friend circle. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? And then when you actually open up and see how many other people, you know, it just makes you feel just like, okay, I'm not alone, you know, and other people also get it. And it just is such a powerful, yeah, I agree 100% with that community piece. So that seems like that really helped you being a part of SugarX and getting that community piece. What else did you find to be like really helpful for your own journey and recovery?
I think the community piece was probably like monumental. And just to touch on that for one more second, like, like you said, it doesn't have to be a 12-step. It doesn't have to be a paid program, because there are, I think there's well over 30 groups that are available for sugar and food addiction that are available to us for free. So I think that really is, that really was pivotal for myself. So I would say finding that community, understanding, you know, kind of the knowledge and the science and the physiology behind it, because that's something that, you know, as a nurse, I wanted to understand how sugar was playing a role in my own body. So those, I think, were the major things that that really kind of pushed me forward. But beyond that, it really, and this is something that I'm still working a lot on, but that emotional side of things and the stress management, and then the movement piece, because, you know, well, let's just look at the emotional side of things first. Like in the first, that first withdrawal period, if when you're first cutting out sugar, those first couple of weeks can be really tough. And we do go through a lot of emotions because of the way that addiction is just tied in with all of that. So being able to understand that and process that was really important for me. And for myself, the 12 steps has been really helpful. But I know that a lot of people have found help with therapy and other methods too. So whatever way works for you, I know that getting some support with the emotional side of it has been crucial for me as well. And that has helped with stress management, but I think taking action on specific stress management techniques has been helpful for me. And for myself, meditation was one of those things that that has been a game changer. And I mean, it doesn't have to be long. Like I usually do like 15 minutes a day, but it makes so much of a difference in just balancing my emotions. It actually boosts my energy so that I have the energy that I need to, you know, just go through my day. And then it ties into that exercise piece. So I actually have the energy that I need to move my body. So it's all connected. But yeah, there's those additional key pieces that I have found just really, really helpful. And it's not to say that I wasn't doing any of those beforehand, but I think that just taking a more targeted approach and implementing those into my recovery has been really valuable.
Yeah, the consistency is so important, because I kind of feel similar to you in a lot of ways, where especially towards the end, before I went sugar and flour free, I was eating a lot healthier because of my health coaching. I knew like I needed high quality meat. I needed organic produce, you know, all that stuff. But and then even my binges got a little fancier, like, you know, like dark chocolate, or I try to find more, you know, things that weren't made with a ton of chemicals, but still, you know, and then I was already like kind of dabbling in meditation and some other things. But then after, like, you're so right, it's like you have to be doing it on a more consistent basis. You know, that's what I find, even still, the days that I'm, you know, because stuff happens. There's days like, you know, a kid will wake me up and I haven't had time to do my meditations or anything. And then that whole day, I'm just a little off. And again, I don't beat myself up. I just kind of note, like, oh, that's out of curiosity again. Oh, that's interesting. This has been a lot harder of a day. Like tomorrow, I'm making sure I prioritize that. You know, I can really tell when you have something like, you know, a meditation, or I do some tapping too. And it's just really critical for me on a daily basis too. So I think we have these stress management techniques that you're talking about. Some I think are, you know, for me, I like to get a monthly massage or do one of those salt water floats. But that's not a day-to-day thing. I also have my day-to-day thing. So it's a whole package that you have to make for yourself. And I like, you're right, it's not like one size fits all, especially with like the emotional stuff that you're saying too. That is like such a big piece, getting off that sugar and flour and any of the triggering substances for you. Sometimes that's additional things too. It's like something you, everyone is individualized on what they actually need to get out of their bodies. But that's just like the first part. And then that second part of the emotional, because most of us, and it sounds like, especially for you, losing your dad so suddenly in your teen years, which is such a hard time anyway, but then to lose, you know, a parent suddenly, of course, you're looking for some kind of coping mechanism because it's just how you deal with that, right? So you turn to food, and a lot of us do that for various reasons. And that was one of the hardest things for me was, and still is, just overriding decades of that being my go-to in those stressful situations. And you're right, it's all interlinked, because if we could manage our stress and keep our levels down, you know, we're not usually as triggered as much, and we can deal better with the emotions, but it's just so all intertwined. So yeah, very important to address both of those, you know, the emotional part, the stress management techniques, sleeping well, you know, all these things. And I like that you mentioned there's so many different ways to do that. Like if the 12 steps, you know, helped you, but if they don't help, that's okay. Find what works for you. You know, for me, I talk a lot about the emotion code and the body code, because that's what helped me, but it doesn't mean that's the thing that's going to help you. And I love that there are so many tools out there to help now too. Like it's just making the one that really works for you. So it sounds like you've got a really good, you know, like consistency, and have the emotional support, the community, your stress management techniques. But I'm sure there's still days that all goes out the window. I know you're a mom, so I'm sure you have those, you know, those days. But
absolutely.
Like again, that's just normal. And that's why it's really nice to have a coach or just this community that you can talk about, like, you know, and share with, because we're all going through that. You know, again, you're not alone, even in your recovery. You know, we all kind of slip up sometimes. So talk to me more about then, like, how you now are helping other women, and talk a little bit about like the programs that you do, your approach, and what you have found to be most successful. Because I know for me too, and you know, I don't know if you face this, like it's a balance of knowing, okay, just because this worked for me doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody. So it's kind of like keeping in mind what worked for you, but offering, you know, a bunch of different tools, because really realizing we're all such individuals. And the only way for this to work long term is to really customize it for yourself so that it's sustainable and it doesn't feel like complete deprivation. That was so important for me. I didn't want to feel deprived, so that everyone's journey, you know, might look a little bit different. So yeah, I'm just curious about what your approach is and what you find has worked well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what you've just described there really is a great precursor to my 9-week sugar, my 9-week program, which is Sugar Freedom Forever. And like you said, it has to kind of encompass all of those pieces that I talked about, but it doesn't have to look like my plan or Siobhan's plan. It has to look like your plan. So of course, finding the right food plan is tied into there. So that is something that I help everyone with. And then we look at stress management. We look at movement. We look at recovery protection, because we really do have to protect, or like prevent ourselves from relapsing. And, you know, it's not that, again, we don't shame ourselves if that happens, but we do what we can to prevent that from happening. So all of that is tied in there. And I really like to give people the opportunity to have those one-on-one sessions, but also that group support. So the program itself includes both of that, because there are things that are more easily shared when it's just one-on-one with a coach, but there's a lot of learning opportunity that happens when you're in a group of other people who get what you're going through and have a similar story. So that's really the way that the program is designed. And then Beyond that, I'm also running a sugar free challenge. So I've run two now, and the next one will be running starting November 1st. So it's a 30-day challenge, and the purpose of it is not to just be sugar free for 30 days and then forget about it. So it really is, you know, leading into giving you all the tools you need to set yourself up. But it's done in such a way that it's fun. It's 30 days, you know. This next round, I'm making some big changes. So there's going to be some prizes. And it's not about weight loss or, you know, body composition. Of course, you know, a lot of the times those things do happen for people, but it's a lot of the emotional side of things and the mindset and just getting yourself set up in order to take the next steps in a sugar-free life.
I love that. Yeah. And, you know, it, like you said, it's not like 30 days and you're done. You know, because I used to do 30-day challenges all the time and still felt terrible because I needed more time. So it's just nice you had to get started and in a more supportive way. And then you're on your way. It's kind of like you get us up and running, you know, and then you have the tools to keep going. So yeah, I'm curious to kind of hear from, you know, from your own experience, then also what you've noticed in your coaching. What for you first, you know, I always like to ask this question all the time, is what have you found to be the biggest benefit or the biggest benefits, you know, of being sugar and flour free now? And what do you kind of, what's the feedback then you get from clients too, after, you know, they're able to be sugar and flour free?
I think for myself, the biggest thing was just, it was the emotional side of things. Like, I didn't think that I was an emotional person because I held everything in, but inside it was like, there was this rage and there was this, you know, there's just this screaming voice inside. But I think that has been the biggest thing that has changed. So just that more balanced perspective, and I'm able to take a pause rather than just react when things happen around me. So I think that is personally the biggest benefit that I've seen. In terms of my clients, I think that the thing that I most often get is either energy levels improving or pain, like specifically joint pain is one of the most common ones that people talk about, just feeling like they can move their body with ease again.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't really think about a lot because sugar and flour are both such big for inflammation in the body. So yeah, if you are having any kind of stiffness or joint stuff, yeah, you're probably going to feel that, you know, pretty quickly some relief. And then brain fog is another one that I hear a lot from women. It's just being able to think a little more clearly. But, you know, no one is saying, which is interesting to me too, is weight loss. A lot of people, that's there. And for me, definitely was one of my big motivators. But once I actually went through, it was so much more than that. Like, that was just like a side benefit, but it was more about, for me, the freedom from that constant, you know, mental warfare, I call it, of, what am I going to eat? What am I not going to eat? Am I going to be good? Am I going to be bad? Like, just the time I've gotten back in my life, not obsessing, you know, over food, just feels like the biggest gift to me. It's just like some sanity and just that time.
So, yeah, Okay. I was just going to say, I think that's a really good point, because I think a lot of people come to me with the goal of weight loss, but I think that a lot of people don't even realize how badly they feel until they start to see those improvements and realize, okay, there's all these other things that I'm checking off that I feel so much better about. So yeah, it really is, you know, it's holistic in the approach, and it's holistic in the solutions.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So what have you found to be on the flip side of that, then, your biggest challenge of, you know, recovery? Because like we said, it's especially protection, that recovery protection, which I like that term, versus relapse, you know, prevention, is this recovery protection piece. Like, what have you found to be most challenging for you in your journey?
I would say just the time. I think that there's so many things that I want to do now that I kind of have this world that's opened up to me. So I don't know if that's kind of the challenge you were thinking of, but yeah, there's so much more that I want to do in my business, and just now that I'm not so focused on the food, there's just so many things that I want to get back to doing and, you know, living. So I think that maybe it's a good challenge to have, but yeah, I think that's probably the biggest one.
Yeah, really good challenge. Like, what do you do with this new improved version of yourself that probably has more energy and can focus more on things? And, you know, it's like, yeah, how do you apply that? And then how do you, you know, like then start this new chapter of your life, like really getting to live, you know, this life that you probably always imagined, and now you're actually living it. So yeah, that's such a big transition and gift, but it also, I'm sure, is very like overwhelming, you know, for some people. But yeah, I know I used to think a lot about that. Like, what would I want my life to look like if I had more energy? And then but it's also fun. It can be overwhelming, but I also just say it's really fun to be able to build that, you know, and create that, you know, your new life, basically, because we know that this is a lifestyle. This isn't a diet. It has no end date. You know, it's just, this is what it looks like now. And have you noticed, do you think your family has noticed challenge or changes in you or your friends? You know, do people share that with you, or did they notice like, gosh, you're glowing, or what are you doing different? Like, you know, do you think you kind of rubbed off on the people around you too?
Yeah, I think so. I think that the comments have been a little more subtle than that, but definitely friends and family have noticed the difference. And one of the biggest, I guess, side benefits that I've realized is just how, you know, and this ties into like that whole mood balancing and emotions piece and just being more aware. With my background as a nurse and a nutritionist, I was always thinking, you know, people want this information from me, and I was just giving out so much unsolicited advice. And one thing that I've really come to notice is that just leading by example, how much those around me are much more willing to change. And I've just seen an incredible transformation in the way my husband eats, and you know, just getting questions from family members rather than me starting the conversation and, you know, you should do this, you should do that, or this is so bad for you. Rather than just, I've just stepped back and I do what I do. And if people have questions, then I'm happy to answer them. But yeah, that leading by example definitely it makes such a big difference in helping others make changes.
Yeah, definitely, versus trying to give the advice that people don't want to hear. But I think it's one of those things too. People are very, I notice, even when I just share, because at first I kept it to myself. Now I'm pretty like, yeah, I don't eat sugar, I don't eat flour. And some people's reactions are pretty defensive, you know, and I'm not like, well, I'm not saying you're a sugar addict and you can't eat sugar or flour. I mean, I don't think anyone needs to eat sugar or flour, but I'm not even trying. It's just interesting, the emotional piece, and how food is so, you know, tied to so much in our culture and society. It's just one of those things people get very kind of defensive about. And, you know, again, I think I've kind of noticed that. So even though I want to be able to share and say, this is what I'm not eating, it's very interesting to see other people's responses. So, but I agree with being able to lead by example and modeling that even for kids. You know, I get a lot of parents that ask about like, well, what do I do about my kids? And it's one of those things, like you can say whatever you want to your kids, but they're watching your actions so much more than, you know. So really being that kind of keeps me I guess like motivated, or I just always keep that in my mind, like just being really, especially around my kids, just really modeling, you know, the best, you know, best I can. I never talk negatively about myself or my body, or, you know, I just really try to be mindful of that. So yeah, I think that's a huge gift, is just being able to lead by example and then have the people kind of come to you that are like, oh, what, you know, what are you doing? You know, and then you can offer that advice and wisdom. So, well, this has been really interesting. I'm so glad that we got to talk. And you offer this. So the 30-day next sugar-free challenge is November the 1st. Do you have like run the 9-week programs, the Sugar Freedom Forever, like throughout the year, or do you have the date of that next one as well?
Yeah, right now it's open for enrollment. So I have enrollment open anytime for that one.
Oh, great. Does that have a start date, or?
You can start whenever you join.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's great. So it's not necessarily like, okay. So, well, that's wonderful. And tell us how we can get in touch with you. And I'll also make sure to link this in the episode notes for people that want to, you know, come and check out your website.
Sure. Yeah. So it's a bit of a longer name, but it's the same pretty much everywhere. It's Rachel Murray Holistic Nutrition. So if you look for me on Instagram or Facebook, I should come up. And yeah, my website is rachelmurrayholisticnutrition.ca. So it's pretty much the same all across the board.
Keeping it consistent. That makes it easy. And then if there was anything, you know, any last words of wisdom or anything that maybe we didn't get to today that you wanted to mention, what would that be?
I don't know. We did cover quite a bit, but I think that, I think that, you know, being a mom with young kids in this space is, every aspect of the sugar addiction recovery space is growing. But I think that, you know, those of us with young kids, there's not a whole lot of us out there. So I think that, I'm really proud to be a part of that community and helping sugar addicts, not only with themselves, but with their families as well, because I think that that is huge. And you just touched on something that that's just so near and dear to my heart, and, you know, connecting with that lead by example, because I think that our children are our future, and whatever we can do to support their own health is just really, really important. So I don't have any children specific programs at this point, but I think that that is something that I would like to explore in the future, because I've been lucky enough to be able to raise my son sugar-free, because he'll be 3 in November. So he was only just over 1 when I first jumped into this space. So he's really known no different, but so I feel blessed that I've been able to kind of give him that back, that that foundation. But I know that you know, in the next few years there's going to be some more challenges as he moves out into the world, but
school, oh my
god, yeah, school, yeah. and all of that. So but yeah, I think that just being able to have the opportunity to provide him with that foundation, and hoping to kind of expand and support children in the future as well, is on my radar. I don't have anything in the works, but I'm looking forward to that too.
I love that. Maybe he'll end up being like an ambassador for you for for kids, and yeah, just talking about it. I think it's so important just to educate kids and lead by example, but also talk to them about nutrition and stuff, because there's so much more information than when we were little. I just think that helps so much. Like you're saying, they're the future generation, and you know, there's so much chronic disease and stuff that we know that's caused by eating too many processed foods. So really that education piece at that early age, I think, is so important. I mean, my kids do eat some, you know, sugar and flour, and they love it, of course, but we talk a lot about it in every way. So I hope that just giving them that information, you know, is going to help them later. And again, by watching me and having, knowing we're going to have healthy meals available at home, and me having to learn that I can't control everything outside the home, much to my, you know, like I try, but I can't. And so, yeah, just knowing that hopefully they have this good base to return to, it just be so much different than what was available even when I was growing up. So I love that. And what a gift to your son to be able, you know, to show that right from the start. But, you know, for parents, I have plenty of clients that parents or that are parents that are like, ah, I feel awful. My kids, you know, there is a way to help the whole family and really helping yourself first. You know, that whole idea with putting your oxygen mask on first before you can help anyone else, you know, take care of yourself first, and then you can help your kids and family. But I really think, you know, believe really strongly about that. And, you know, I'm sure you agree, Rachel, just with that recovery protection. Sometimes my recovery needs to go before the kids sometimes, like, you know, of course not before, but kind of like, I need to make sure that my recovery stays strong. That's usually like the, you know, at the top of my list every day, as much as it can be, because I can just, otherwise it can go quickly downhill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I know what you're saying.
Good. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and doing what you're doing out there to help other women get off of sugar. I will link your websites and information, social media, so people can get in touch with you if they're interested and even just trying out, you know, the 30-day challenge, or if they want to sign up for the 9-week program. But thank you so much, and really great having you on today.
Thank you so much for having me, Siobhan. It was great to be here.
Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day, and remember, life is so much sweeter without sugar.